Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guest, and for this hour, our guest is going to be Charles Van Vake, and he comes from In Touch Ministries over there in Cape Town, and works with Peter Hammond, and travels the entire continent to bring the Word of God to people, helping the indigenous ministers to learn how to really organize the churches and present the gospel, taking food and medical supplies into areas where they can't be gotten ordinarily, and really, of course, making Christianity real for the people they come in contact with. Charles, thank you so very much for being with us this evening again.
Dr. Stan, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you very much for the privilege.
When will you be heading back to Africa?
I'm heading back on Tuesday. This coming Tuesday, I'm flying back to South Africa.
Okay. When will Peter be going back?
He leaves tomorrow.
Okay, fine. Well, it's been good to have you both here and to have a chance to talk.
Yeah, thank
you. Now,
you.
This audience has not heard you, and so remember that these are all different audiences, so you can repeat what you've said before, and I don't think anybody's going to bother. In fact, I hope that they'll all enjoy exactly what you have to say. In fact, I was just reading in one of my newspapers that the inflation rate in Zimbabwe is now up to about 3,700% a year.
Yes, that is the all sorts of figures. You know, when it gets to that sort of figures or percentages, then it's very difficult to say what's going on. So the people saying it's 2,300% and others 3,000 and 3,700, but it's just absolutely chaotic. I've been told that when men are working in the factories, they get paid every single afternoon at lunchtime, and their wives come to the factories, those who are still lucky enough to have jobs, and they give the cash immediately to their wives, who rush off to the shop to buy goods before the prices go up later on in the afternoon. So there is absolute economic pandemonium in that country right now. And, you know, there's something like 1.5 million people who have been rendered homeless by the chaos there that's going on when Robert Mugabe 2 years ago ordered bulldozers to smash down people's houses, their shacks and their businesses. And so these poor people are really suffering there.
Yeah, and of course, basically, people have forgotten that it was the American State Department that brought Mugabe to power. Certainly the Rhodesian people had elected Bishop Mezaweo.
That's right.
And, of course, then Henry Kissinger, in his wisdom, came in and told them that they couldn't have the man they wanted. We had the right man for them, a thug named Robert Mugabe, who had been trained in communist China. And they made sure that he was the next ruler of Zimbabwe. And
that's right. The State Department of America enforced Robert Mugabe on the country, and the elections immediately after Ian Smith's rule was Bishop Mazarewa that came to power. And Britain and the State Department of the U.S. didn't like that idea at all, and they enforced Mugabe on the people. He could come into the country with his weapons and his thugs, and force the people to vote for him, and that's the way it works in Africa, unfortunately.
And of course, basically, what you're seeing is inflation just like they had in the Weimar Republic before Hitler came to power. And I fear, of course, the whole society is going to collapse, and so many people are going to die of starvation, lack of medical care, and of course, well, we'll talk about what Charles thinks when we get back here in just a moment. Well, Cheryl, what's the next step for as far as Zimbabwe is concerned?
Well, you know, the people there right now are talking about whether they should give an amnesty to Robert Mugabe and to his fellow thugs in the cabinet. And so there's a lot of dissent amongst the opposition. Morgan Tsvangirai, the leader of the opposition, was beaten up by Zimbabwean police of Robert Mugabe just a while back. He almost lost his eye. He was in ICU in the hospital. And now they're talking, well, the subject has been brought up, saying, you know, should we give them amnesty so that we can go forward and become a democracy? But we're going to have to see, because the public is saying, no way. You know, his forces have murdered my sister or my child or whatever the story is. One pregnant woman had soldiers cut her open. They took the fetus out and trampled the fetus and killed the fetus in the dirt. You know, other people have lost family members because of the thuggery that's been going on there with the soldiers and the police. People at prayer meetings have been beaten up by police because they were having a prayer meeting for the country. You know, this is the sort of thing he gets up to. In between 1983 and 1987, when he first came to power, when he was enforced upon the country by England and by the State Department of the U.S., he killed as many as 40,000 people in Matabele land, and this was just ignored. You know, people didn't worry about it. And obviously he had to disarm the people first, and so they couldn't defend themselves against the chaos that he caused. And we've also seen that with the bulldozers that have gone in and left 1.5 million people homeless. Once again, you know, it's very difficult to smash down people's businesses and their homes if the people are armed. You can't do that in a civilized nation where you have an armed citizenry.
What's happening to the church? What's happening to the Christian beliefs of the people there in Zimbabwe? Are they being strengthened or weakened?
Well, no, they are suffering at the hands of the police. There was a women's prayer meeting, if I remember correctly, near Matabele land area, and the police came in and beat up women, and they weren't allowed to have their prayer meeting. And then just a few weeks ago, another prayer meeting was going to be held in Harare. And there again, the police went in and they beat up people, and the prayer meeting couldn't take place. So, you know, the people are really taking strain there, the Christian church. And in fact, just lately, some Catholic bishops got together and they read out a letter on Sunday calling for a people-driven constitution to avert the bloodshed and the mass uprising, and to stop an uprising in the country.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Charlotte. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Char was just saying that a group of bishops had gotten together and held a prayer meeting and called for some sort of a constitution to prevent a mass uprising and the bloodshed that would entail, but the people are ready to revolt against the government that we brought to power, a Marxist, communist-trained thug named Mugabe, who they knew, our State Department knew where he was trained, they knew everything about him. Why would you bring somebody like that to power? Why, for the same reason you bring certainly the gentleman Mandela in South Africa, who's a communist, and Mbeki, who's replaced him, is a communist, and the people over in Southwest Africa, they know they were all communists. What people find it so difficult to believe is our State Department seldom makes a mistake in favor of freedom. So, anyway, did the bishop's letter have any influence at all? Do you think the people are getting ready simply to revolt and just simply, you know, say we're not going to take any more?
Well, it's very interesting that the bishops would come up with this letter asking for a people-driven constitution, and they say it's to avert the bloodshed and mass uprising. Now, you know, the bishops and the church leaders are normally the people that have their ear on the ground, they have a good feeling of what's going on in the community. So, This smells like trouble. And Mugabe's attitude to the bishops, he commented that once the bishops turn political, we regard them as no longer spiritual, and our relations with them would be conducted as if we are dealing with political entities, and this is quite a dangerous path they have chosen for themselves. That was his comment about this. In other words, we're going to treat them like we treat all the other political dissidents, i.e. we beat them up when we deem it fit to do so. And also just a few weeks ago, he beat up 23 lawyers in the country who are standing up for human rights.
Did something happen to your telephone? It just suddenly got much softer.
Oh, I see. No, I seem to be fine on this side. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you just a little bit soft. We'll try to up your voltage a little bit there.
Okay, so we'll keep talking. I'll try and swap with another phone and see how that goes.
Would you mind doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I really do want our listeners to be able to hear really what's going on in Africa. I mean, Africa is a series of tremendous tragedies, and then there's really some magnificent successes. And certainly the story of what's happened in Mozambique over the last 25 years is truly an amazing one. The way there in Mozambique after the Portuguese Revolution and they turned the country over to the Marxists, and then the anti-communists, they had a revolution, and there was the starvation. Nothing was getting accomplished. Charlie, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me better now?
No, I really can't. I wonder what happened.
That's very strange.
Well, that's all right. Won't worry about it. Looks like it's going out all right. So go ahead and tell us what happened in Mozambique.
Great. Well, in 1975, Mozambique was given independence from Portugal, and Marxist revolutionaries took over there. The organization's name was Frelimo, and the leader was Samora Machel. And one of his first comments, that they're going to make it the first truly Marxist-Leninist country in Africa.
Okay.
And that's exactly what they did there. They imposed a real dictatorship of the proletariat, the educational institutions, the hospitals, the businesses, industries, agriculture, commerce, all these were nationalized, and basically the property in it was confiscated. So they started off on a really bad footing, and once again, absolute mayhem. Another man that was put in power by the internationalists.
But, of course, eventually, he began to actually encourage returning some of the white farmers, and now they've already, you can even have your religious services there. And isn't certainly Mozambique coming back into some sort of order and a semblance of order?
That's right, yes. There's been great transformation there because of prayer and also international pressure. And the Frelimo government has now renounced Marxism, and they've started opening up, and they've also accepted a multi-party democracy. Church buildings and land that was confiscated has been returned to the congregations now. The borders have been opened. Missionaries are welcomed back into Mozambique. And so Mozambique's wide open to the gospel, and the people are spiritually hungry right now. So that's really amazing to see. The way God's working there, and they are just absolutely magnificent amount of people coming to Christ there, but yet the discipleship is needed there, you know. So we're needing leadership training and discipleship in Mozambique still. And you know, after having a Marxist Frelimo government that's so anti-Christian for so long, you know, they murdered ministers, freedom fighters, chopped off the head of a priest, and they placed it on an altar in one of the churches there. Just absolutely disgraceful things that were going on. The church really suffered there. When Dr. Peter Hammond, our founder of Frontline Fellowship, went there in the early days of the Marxist Revolution, the people were praying over some people in the church, and they told him they were the missionaries being sent out by the church. And he said, "How can you be sending missionaries out? You don't have any money. What on earth are you... What are you doing?" And they said, "No, these people are being sent to Cuba to go work in the cotton plantations there, and they're basically going as slave labor, chosen by the government, the Marxist government, in swapping them for AK-47s and military hardware." And he said, "We are sending these people out that are going to Cuba as our missionaries to Cuba." What a way to send out your missionaries, and what an attitude. Just absolutely phenomenal.
Well, certainly this is one of the great successes you've had, I know. Let's talk a little bit about South Africa now. For those who've never been to South Africa, this was a very prosperous, white-controlled society up until about 1980. I lived there. They were trying to overcome apartheid. They were well on their way to doing away with apartheid, but that, of course, not what our State Department wanted. They wanted to bring a Marxist regime to power, and contrary to everything you've read in the United States, Nelson Mandela was a lifelong terrorist and Marxist, and that is why they brought him to power. But we can't tell the American people that. I suppose that he's just this, the George Washington, the revolution, the Abraham Lincoln. But anyway, since the country's been under black control, my understanding is that the economy is really slumping, that there's reverse discrimination as far as jobs for whites is concerned. If you're a white man, you can't get a job. And they're trying to disarm the people, but that many of the blacks really certainly want to work closely with the whites to try to keep it from getting worse. What's really going on in South Africa today?
Yeah, there's absolute chaos in the country right now. We have about 20,000 murders a year in South Africa in a small population of only 45 million. There are about 55,000 rapes a year. When Nelson Mandela's African National Congress came to power, they passed abortion on demand laws, and in fact Nelson Mandela wouldn't even allow his party, the members of parliament, to vote pro-life. They were forced to vote for abortion, and many of the Catholics and some nominal Christians in the party didn't even go to parliament that day because they didn't want to go against their conscience in the vote, and they had to pay a fine for not being there. In 1997, they passed laws that would allow and legalize pornography in South Africa and even child pornography in certain circumstances. And the next year, we had a 400% increase in the child sexual abuse rate in our country. So this is the kind of chaos that they brought to power. Their people are very upset now. Many of the black people, the ex-revolutionaries, are talking about a second revolution coming in South Africa. We live in fear of our lives because of crime rates there all the time. It is the amount of hijackings, murders, rapes, theft, injury to people is just unbelievable. It is catastrophic. The white farmers are being murdered as one of the highest murder rates of any group of people in the world, 2,000 of them in just the last couple of years. Absolutely phenomenal, and the methods of murder are just indescribable. You know, there's some people that they've taken cow dung and shoved it down the farmer's throat and until they've suffocated to death. They've raped the woman. Just incredible things. You cannot believe and comprehend the mind of these people that are murdering the farmers. And so we live in houses with big metal bars over our windows that are stuck into the brickwork of our homes. We live with big security gates in front of our doors, and we literally live like criminals should be behind bars. The law-abiding citizens are living that way in South Africa now. And so, you know, when Nelson Mandela was flying around the world and coming to America, collecting millions of US dollars here to go fight his campaign, his organization had been blowing up our people in our restaurants. They'd been shooting people in the streets. They had necklace murdered people where they would put a tire around a person's body and pour gasoline, petrol over them, and then light them up as burning torches. And then the West support a man like this. It is just, one can't comprehend that anybody in their right mind in the West could support an organization like this. And then peace-loving people like Dr. Mangosuthu Buthelezi, the leader of the Zulus, gets ignored by the rest of the year. They don't, by the rest of the world. They don't have finances to fight the elections. They don't have money. And all the freedom-loving blacks in South Africa who were trying to carry on with their lives and were forced to do all sorts of things by these African National Congress people with their AK-47s, so they've all been left out of everything by the rest of the world because they had no support. And the State Departments of America and Europe are all supporting the bad guys. And so we've had to now live in South Africa with all this absolute chaos that's going on in our country. And when I speak to people here in America, they all think everything's fine in South Africa.
All that thought would be right back. Well, what's ever happened to Chief Buthelezi?
Dr. Buthelezi is still around. He's a he still heads up the Zimkhata Freedom Party.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Million people, probably 4 or 5 million have fled, some into Zambia, some into South Africa, some into Mozambique, some into Botswana. I mean, you're talking about 4,000, probably close to a third of the population of Zimbabwe has fled. Immediately north of them, however, is Zambia. So tell us what's going on in Zambia.
That is one of the countries that the Zimbabweans have fled to, but Zambia is quite happy about that in certain circumstances, because some of the people that have fled to Zambia from Zimbabwe are the white farmers. And just a couple of hundred of them have turned the economy of Zambia around. Zambia, about 3 years ago, was really suffering, and they were importing maize into the country. These couple of hundred farmers have turned everything around, and now they're exporting maize. And so there's been a phenomenal change there, and our director, Dr. Peter Hammond, and our field director, Tim Keller, just met a few months ago with the Zambian president. They read the scriptures with him. They gave him the gospel. And just a while back, he was also baptized in Zambia. And they've declared themselves a Christian nation a couple of years ago. And that's been a big political and constitutional debate in the country, whether they should become a secular nation or remain a Christian country. And praise the Lord, looks like the people want their country to remain a Christian country, because then at least they have the scriptures as a starting point, an objective point for right and wrong, and for righteousness, and to decide on what is righteous and what is wicked. And so they're a great nation. They're doing very well economically now. They're looking after their farmers, and they're very much a free people after Kenneth Kaunda was kicked out of power. They seem to be a very free people, and the churches are really overflowing. In fact, the churches are growing incredibly in Zambia, and the people really love the Lord, and they're becoming self-sufficient. They're building their own churches. They're not even needing support from people outside of Zambia or Christians in other nations. They're really doing a phenomenal job there.
Well, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and when there's no Spirit of the Lord, why, you're going to have tyranny.
That's right. Yes, and so it's just phenomenal to see how God has blessed that nation. I went into Zambia in around 1990, which was soon after, I was there about 2 weeks after Kenneth Kaunda, the dictator that was in power for over 20 years. He was toppled through elections, and I went in there, and the place was devastated. Nobody was, the stores didn't even have goods in them, because people were expecting a civil war to take place. Absolute pandemonium in the country. I was struggling to even find a restaurant or a place where I could just buy a pizza. And when I eventually found a place in the capital city where I could buy a pizza, I wouldn't have even fed it to my dog back in South Africa. It was so bad. The roads were messed up. There weren't any restaurants around. There was just virtually nothing going on in the capital city. And now there's a vibrant economy. The roads are beautiful. There are beautiful buildings going up, church buildings, business buildings, hotels, restaurants. It is just an absolutely amazing how God has blessed that nation. When the people came before him, they repented of their sins, they turned from their sins, and they dedicated their nation to Jesus Christ. What a difference. Absolute difference. It is phenomenal.
All right, Char. Well, certainly. Anyway, Zambia is prospering then pretty well.
Yes. They're going ahead wonderfully there in that nation. In fact, they haven't put into action lately, but they still have the death penalty on the books too for murderers. And so does Botswana. And that makes such a difference to crime in a country. You know, very few murders in a country where they have the death penalty still for those who murder.
All right, Char. Well, we're having a little technical difficulty here, but hopefully that'll be getting straightened out in just a moment or two. Our engineers working right on that. So we're going to just take a little break here. We'll be right back.
Great.
At Radio Liberty. Hail, this is Archer Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Charles Van Vick. And, Charles, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, a little technical difficulty, but fortunately we managed to get that straightened out for the time being. Anyway, of course, Zambia is really in pretty good shape now. Let's talk a little bit about some places like Darfur. We hear a lot about Darfur. In fact, a tremendous amount of emphasis on Darfur. We never hear where we have the Arabs killing the Christians, but we have Arabs killing the Arabs. They make a big issue out of that, almost as if they're unconcerned about the slaughter of Christians. But of course, anybody else being persecuted will be featured on ABC, CBS, and NBC. So what's really happening in Darfur? How bad things are things, really?
Yeah, it's quite interesting that everybody's so concerned about Darfur because, you know, as you mentioned, it's the Arabs are on. In fact, it's the Muslims, the Arab Muslims and the Arab blacks that are, the Muslim blacks and the Muslim Arabs that are busy fighting each other and killing each other in Darfur. But, you know, just a while back when the Muslims were busy killing the Christians in the Nuba Mountains, nobody was interested. You know, nobody in the West cared about that. And now when the Muslims are killing each other, now there's this major trauma in the West, and the actors are taking off work and getting involved in marches and all sorts of things in the West because of it. And where were they when the Muslim government was bombing the Christians in their churches in the South and attacking them with high helicopters in the Nuba Mountains just a few years ago? So it's highly you know, hypocritical to be concerned about the Muslims killing each other, but when the Muslims kill Christians, then nobody's interested. But praise God, the church in Sudan is doing well. The war's over. They are getting on with their lives and being able to plant crops in that again, which used to be burnt down by the Muslims. The churches apparently aren't being attacked and bombed anymore, and the hospitals like they were. Some churches had to be rebuilt three times because the Muslim government in Sudan was busy bombing the Christians. And Peter Hammond, our founder, and many of our my colleagues were bombed while they were preaching in churches on a Sunday morning in southern Sudan. And so, you know, we really praise God that things are turning around and that we can get out the gospel quite openly in these various countries in Africa.
All right, so things are really, at least as far as the southern Sudan, are doing fairly well. And as far as the western Sudan and Darfur, is the slaughter, is it as bad as we've been told? Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and certainly our guest is Charles Van Vick. Before we go on, Charles, if I could, of course, get your website and your telephone number out for our listeners, in case any of them would like to contribute to your ministry. Barbara, my wife, and I do support this ministry. We think it's an important ministry. We can't go off to Africa. We've lived in Africa. We were there for 3 years. We'd love to, but I'm just a little bit too old and feeble to be running around in the mountains there trying to get away from the alligators or the crocodiles or whatever it would be. So anyway, we could have the knowledge that Charles and Peter and the rest of the team there, many of whom we've actually met by the miracle of radio, are at least able to do what they're doing. So let's get out your website and your telephone number if anybody would like to get in touch with you and get your material.
Great. The website is frontline.org.ca. So that's frontline.org.ca. And then the phone number for our the mission, In Touch Mission International here in Tempe, Arizona, here in America, is 888-988-918-4100. So that's a toll-free number. It's 888-918-4100. And then the website frontline.org.ca. If people would like to contact us, we come over to the West. We come and tell people about what's going on in Africa. We speak at churches. We do radio shows. We're really thankful for you opening up the airwaves to us. so that we can get the truth out about what's going on, because it doesn't appear that this information gets into the mainline press in America at all.
Well, of course, we always enjoy having you and Peter come so we can have an opportunity to keep abreast of what's really happening there and the triumphs and the failures, and of course, but there are triumphs. That's the encouraging thing. And of course, one of the richest countries there in all of Africa is the Congo. It used to be the Belgian Congo. And certainly Christianity is making tremendous strides there, isn't it?
Yes, we are very excited about what's going on in the Congo. You know, Congo's Democratic Republic of the Congo has been an area that has had conflict for so many years. In fact, 4 million people are said to have died in the Congo in the last 8 years, suffering at the hands of the incompetent governments there. The terrible things that have been going on have been unbelievable. The Congo suffered at the hands of Muslim slave raiders long ago. The Arab slave trade then exploited the people, and then mining corporations came in and exploited the people. And so they got independence in 1960, and basically the country has been torn apart by civil wars, by military coups, by plundering of the resources, by socialist dictators. There's been absolute chaos there. And when they were given independence in 1960, Katanga province had a Christian president. They seceded from the rest of the Congo because, once again, a communist dictatorship was put into power there. And the Katangans said, we're not going to be part of this chaos in the Congo. And so they seceded and formed a country, the country of Katanga, the Republic of Katanga. And Moise Tshombe was their first president, a godly Christian man, a Protestant man, and the United Nations came in and basically shot people up in the streets. They bombed the hospitals, they bombed the radio station. The American Air Force was flying in the troops of the United Nations under Doug Hammarskjöld at the time, and just an incredible chaos in the country. Once again, the United Nations forcing Katanga to rejoin the chaotic communist-controlled the rest of the Congo. And they said that Katanga at the time, seceding from the rest of the Congo, was an international threat to the security of the world. I mean, can you believe it, Dr. Stan? That was the issue at the time. And now these poor people have gone the way the rest of the Congo went. Absolutely chaotic, living in a mess, so many of the mines have closed down. But by God's grace, there are great things happening now. The Congo has got vast mineral resources. It's also got tremendous agricultural potential, and yet it's still one of the poorest countries in the world. And my pastor friends there, they've had one of their pastor colleagues that was buried alive by rebel forces. They came into the church one day, the rebels, and said that the church's prayers were causing the war to go badly for them. And they told him, if you carry on praying, we will bury your pastor alive. And the church had a great decision to make then, and they carried on praying. And the pastor was buried alive, and he left a wife and 3 children behind. I've met other people whose young brothers of 13 and 15 year olds were taken away to war by the rebel soldiers, and young girls taken away as sex slaves and to cook for the rebels. I mean, total chaos in a country. And at the end of the day, if these people were armed, they could have protected themselves against these wicked rebel soldiers. Never mind all the chaos that was caused by the government forces too. These poor people have really had a tough time out there. And yet there are diamonds, gold, copper, uranium, all kinds of precious metals available in the Congo, and yet the people are so poor.
And you know, really, it's amazing. If you go back to the time when this was a Belgian protectorate, and it was very civilized, and they had roads every place, and they had really a very, very stable society. When the Belgians were forced to leave, then everything fell apart, and the roads, most of them are impassable today. The entire structure of society is broken down. You know, the amenities, the water and and electricity and these other things that at least were there in some of the major cities. It's really all gone, isn't it?
Yes. The Belgian Congo had some of the best infrastructure in the whole of Africa. They had great industries in Katanga, great mining industries. There was even a very large Jewish community in Katanga. People of all creeds and all races. In fact, I spoke to an elderly gentleman there who was 23 years old in 1961 when the chaos took place there, when the United Nations came in. And he said when the UN Air Force would fly over and bomb the hospitals and bomb the people in the streets, he said people, whites, blacks, and coloreds, he said everybody would stand together. They would use anything, little .22 pistols or anything to shoot at the aeroplanes. Obviously, it didn't help much. But he said in the streets, the people of all races were standing against the UN. It took the United Nations 2.5 years to subdue this tiny little country of Katanga. Just an incredible, feisty group of people who were really desperate for their independence. And unfortunately, they lost that. But yes, the Congo River has the potential to generate enough hydroelectric power for the whole of Africa, and yet there the river's running and it's not being used just because of the war and the devastation.
Well, anyway, of course, but the country does seem to be at least coming around to some semblance of maybe the beginning of order, but the important thing is that the church is growing there, and aren't there a lot of new ministers that are being trained and bringing the word of the Lord out of the people?
That's right. We've had great times there of reformation. We've run seminars, biblical worldview seminars. Dr. Peter Hammond, our founder, and Bill Bassman, the chairman of Frontline Fellowship, they were speaking at a meeting in Katanga province at Lubumbashi. They had on the second day, I think, about 800 people at the seminar. On the third day, about 1,000 people, included judges, generals from the army, you know, all teachers and newspaper editors. Just incredible how people are hungry for the word of God. They want to be discipled. Sunday morning service, 3,000 people in a service. Just incredible. When I was there just lately, I walked into the bishop's office, and he oversees about 700 churches, Bishop Lumba Lumba, and there were a whole lot of people's walking sticks and crutches in the corner of the office. And I turned to my interpreter and said, what are all these crutches doing here? And I said, no, we had a prayer meeting, a time of prayer, and people were healed by the Lord, and these were the leftover crutches. They walked away without them. And so we've seen God really working mightily in the Congo in many different ways.
And I think that sometimes in a place like that, well, you'll see much more of the supernatural than you will here in a more rational environment like we have in the United States.
That's right. The people there are very spiritually in touch. And we've got cases in Africa where Muslims haven't even heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they say that Jesus has appeared to them in dreams, and they come to repentance, and they love the Lord, and they've had to reject their Muslim faith. So it's quite amazing to see how God works in this environment with people that are very spiritually in tune. They used to worshiping their ancestors, and yet when they turn around, they turn to Jesus Christ. He's truly Lord of their lives. They don't play games anymore after that.
Well, you know, Chris, when I was there, I worked in a hospital, and Chris, you became very aware of this. So many of the people there would go to the witch doctor before they'd come to the white doctor. Mm-hmm. And so many of them were into spiritualism, and they believed in Togolos, a little demon who jumps into bed with you, which is why all the maids put their beds up on paint cans so the Togolos couldn't get to them. And yet, of course, here the Lord might even be working more effectively than in the United States, where we're above all that sort of thing. What if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Charles? We have a few more minutes before he'll be leaving us. So our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. you ever have a question about what's going on in Africa, but this is really rather exciting. How do you get around in Africa? Do you have cars, Land Rovers, you know, motorbikes? How do you get around when you're there?
Well, our mission is we have a 4x4 vehicle, like an SUV that our mission field director uses, Tim Keller, and we're actually needing a new one now because it's pretty old and our vehicles don't last too long. It's probably about an 8-year-old vehicle, so it would really be nice for him to get a later model because we don't have so many breakdowns. And then many times we fly, and when flying into Sudan, my colleagues would have to fly at treetop level to be below the Muslim radar system. And so, but it just depends on which country you're going in and when, on how you're going to get in there. Peter Hammond, our founder, used to go in by motorbike into Mozambique. So it just depends. Sometimes you have to walk very far. Like Peter and Tim in the Nuba Mountains, they'd walk for days on an end near the equator, which is extremely hot, and they were just really sweating it out up in the Nuba Mountains. So you have all sorts of things happen up there, and many different things, but the Christian literature that we need is desperately needed. Bibles are desperately needed in Africa. In fact, we actually have at our mission, we're raising funds for bicycles for Congolese pastors. You know, they don't even need 4x4s. They're just happy to get bicycles so that they can effectively get around the villages to visit their congregation members. They can be more effective in their ministry. And just lately, we bought some bicycles for people that were going to start pastoring churches, and the bishop handed over the bikes to them. And they'd pick the bikes up in the air and show it to all the congregations that were together at a big meeting. And the people would cheer and just praise God for their pastors having a bicycle so they can be more effective in their ministry. And it's amazing in a country like that how you know, a smaller gift like that can make such a difference in the lives of so many people.
Amen to that. Well, what about Uganda? Certainly Uganda was involved in civil war for such a long period of time, and of course the People's Army was there then. Now, what's happened? Is Uganda fairly peaceful now?
Yes, Uganda's very peaceful now. It's a phenomenal nation. In fact, about 600,000 people were murdered in Uganda. Also, once again, they were first disarmed by Idi Amin. And, you know, nobody in the West was told the fact that Idi Amin was a Muslim, and that the people that were being murdered, the hundreds of thousands of people, were mainly Christians. This was totally ignored. The Western press was always talking about intertribal warfare. There was nothing about that. It was Muslims killing Christians there. And by God's grace now, the new president, Museveni, is just an incredible man. I don't know if he's a Christian, but his wife is definitely a Christian. And just incredible things that have been happening there. As I've mentioned, the AIDS rate has been turned around. And the Christian leaders that have just made such a difference in that nation by praying and asking God to intervene in a miraculous way. And God has done that for them. Phenomenal country. The economy's taken off. The murder rate's down. The thieving and all this sort of thing has just been totally turned around. And people have just seen, you know, God's grace come upon that country. And it's probably one of the most, most amazing turnarounds in a nation in Africa. Just absolutely phenomenal.
Well, you know, certainly Africa is such an exciting place. There's tremendous potential. You know, certainly it's really not that many people or acre. There are lots of empty land there because we keep being told, oh, it's overpopulated, too many people. And they may be in some of the large cities, but you know, you get out in the hinterlands, there's a paucity of people. And here, a lot of places, there's no water. I mean, there's just, you know, even having a well for the whole village is an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, Africa needs godly businessmen to come over and to help the people, people with expertise. You know, I came across a beautiful, just a supernatural spring on a farm in the Congo, but the Congo imports their water in bottles. You know, the Christian businessmen are saying, you know, we need expertise, we need help. Tell the Christians in the West to come and help us. We'll pay them. We'll give them shares in our businesses. We just need help. For mining, the people will be sitting four or five people in a row with rocks in front of them, hitting it with hammers to see, you know, and they look at the rocks and they say, well, this looks like it's about 50% copper in this, and they put that in a certain bag somewhere. They're just so behind in technology, and yet the resources are there, under the ground. And God has really blessed them. The agricultural potential is phenomenal. Mozambique has the agricultural potential to feed the whole of Africa. And yet it's a country that's been devastated by war and communism, and praise God now there's been a turnaround there too. So we're hoping for great things in Africa. And I hear that there are churches in America, especially the Episcopal churches, that are now falling under the leadership of African bishops. So praise God that our people are standing strong on the issues.
Well, I'll tell you what, all the rest of them are just going along with, you know, the rather liberal pro-homosexual agenda here.
Yes, well, so praise God the people in Africa are standing against that.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. What message would you like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I'd like to encourage people in the West to read on our website, frontline.org.za, what's really happening in Africa. It's obviously not getting into your mainline media yet, so they need to see what's going on in the Christian media. We're on the ground, we see what's going on, and we report on that. And then if people would like to support our mission or invite us to speak at their churches, we'd love to do that. Our number is 888-918-4100. We'd love to hear from you. We have a free mailing list and also email list that goes out if people would like to join that. And once again, we're so thankful to you, Dr. Stan, for opening up the airwaves to us. It's just a great privilege for us to be able to let the people and the Christians in the West know what's going on, because the Christians, specifically in the Congo, they're really feeling neglected. You know, if their people get jailed, they speak French, it's very difficult to communicate with the West, and sometimes they just feel unloved and neglected, and it's just wonderful for them to know that people, Christians in the West, are concerned about them, that will stand up for them when there's trouble, and that will phone their congressmen and pray for them when they're being jailed for their faith.
Well, Chris, the thing is that this is really such it's an amazing, amazing continent. I'll never forget when I was there, and the fellow who swept the floor in my clinic at the hospital where I was the chief surgeon, he could speak six languages.
Yes.
The Africaner has an amazing capacity for language, and the Lord has given each of us certain gifts, and
yes,
he's given the black man different gifts than he's given us, but I was always so envious of him being as multilingual as he was.
That's right. Yeah, many of them can speak four or five languages. It's just absolutely incredible. And they also have such a great spiritual understanding, a connection with the spirit world, which that's great relationships with God when they turn from their wickedness, they repent of their sin. And boy, we go to countries like the Congo, and we learn from them how to do evangelism. We can help with discipleship, but they teach us how to evangelize. They're on fire for the Lord, and praise God, they're doing such a great work at evangelizing the nation.
Well, you know, one thing that really always impressed me is how people who could have so little could be so happy.
That's right. You know, when we go out into these places, we see these young children, even teenagers, they're smiling and they're disciplined, they respect their parents, and in fact...
Hold that thought there. We'll be right back in just a moment, Charlotte. Well, our guest has been Charlotte Van Peck. And Charlotte, would you like to get your web page and your telephone number out one more time?
Yes, it's frontline.org.za. It's frontline.org.za. And our phone number is 888-918-4100. That's in Tempe, Arizona. It's a toll-free number.
Well, you have a safe trip back, and give my best to Peter, and we'll look forward to talking to you when you get back here again.
Dr. Stan, thank you so much for having us on the air and for the publicity, and God bless. Keep up the good work.
And you too. Bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye.
All right, fine. Well, that was Charles Van Veck, and certainly both he and Peter are two people I always look forward to having on the air with us. Well, let me tell you that this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there listening to us, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every single day. And if you'd like, of course, to join the Radio Liberty family, you can always reach us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We have a 4-tape set on the other Holocaust. Two of the tapes, of course, get into the background of what really happened in Rwanda. And then, of course, we have other tape sets that cover almost everything that you'd want to know about what's going on in the world today, from what really happened with O.J. Simpson and the truth about the trial and the murder of Nicole, to many other sources of information, to food, to nutrition, and, of course, cancer, certainly genocide, treatments for cancer that have been actively suppressed because they work, not because they don't work. So if you'd like more information, why, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. How, Chris, if you would like to get an understanding of the spiritual forces at work, you need to get my latest talk. It's entitled Forbidden Secret. To understand the phenomenon that's sweeping the United States and teaching people how to manipulate the universe with their mind, the so-called the law of attraction put forward by Rhonda Byrne. The 4-tape set is The Secret Behind the Secret. That's The Secret Behind the Secret. And we recommend this very, very, very strongly. So, of course, The Forbidden Secret is a DVD or VHS with a syllabus. The Secret Behind the Secret is either 4 tapes or 4 CDs. But it will begin to take you into a whole different dimension. For there is another dimension, and you really have to understand that. To understand what's going on today, we hope many of you will want to read my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD and or a VHS of that. We have, of course, the Secret Mystery of America's Beginning DVD, the DVD Riddles in Stone, the DVD, 4-hour, 3-hour, or 10-hour, they sold their souls for rock and roll. And, of course, understand that it's not just people in the music industry who've actively made a bargain with the devil. And it's not an imaginary devil, it's a very real devil. And he and his minions are working here in the United States today, searching for the souls of men. And intent upon destroying Christian civilization. So, remember our number, it's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. If you want to understand why we are in Iraq and why we are going to go to war with Iran, why, that's our February newsletter. If you want to understand who funds communism and why, that's our March newsletter. They're up there on the internet. Pull them down, read them, copy them. Help us get the truth out across America. And we'll be back here in just a moment for the second hour when we have Orlene Colum talking about Agenda 21 and sustainable development. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests. And, well, for the second hour this evening, we're having Orlean Kulam. And Orlean is the president of the California Eagle Forum. She has certainly been on the front lines of this battle to try to educate people about sustainable development, about these various forces that are working, trying to use the environmental movement to destroy Western civilization. She's an expert on Agenda 21, and certainly up in her area where she lives now in Santa Rosa, there's a program to take away people's property rights under one guise or another, and she's organized a property rights a group up there. Orlean, how is that new group you organized doing?
It's quite remarkable. We've had some success that we just recently found out about. For a while we thought, are we making any difference at all? But what we've been doing, we organized almost a year ago in July, and we became an official organization, I think, August 3rd. And then, ever since then, every single planning commission meeting, we've had members of our group there taking notes. They've never had an audience before. They've always been just doing this silently behind, well, it's not closed doors, but they've never had anyone there observing them. And we've been there for, of course, all of their public hearings, but after a while the public hearings don't take place anymore. It's just the Planning Commission meetings. But we're still there, and they know we're there, and we've then attended some of the Board of Supervisors meetings, so they know who we are. I was asked to speak last evening for it's called the North Bay Agricultural Alliance, mainly made up of farmers and wine growers, and they told us that they have heard from the Board of Supervisors that they are really glad that we are there, because we are reining in these outlandish laws that would have other been done without really anyone even being aware of them, and the Board of Supervisors are expected to put these through that the Planning Commission presents to them. But we've given enough opposition that they've actually retracted some of the things that they were going to do. Remember when I first spoke to you last fall, they were going to have a 100-foot setback on all of the creeks and 200 on the rivers. We found out at the meeting today that they've taken this back. It's going to be only 50 feet on flat land and 25 feet on slanted land by the creeks, and essentially the same by the rivers. So little by little, we've made a little progress, and this group last night told me how much they appreciate our efforts.
Well, I think it's important to understand that there is an effort, of course, to take away private property from people in the name of preserving the environment. Oh, the environment's going to be destroyed. What we've got to do is, what they really have is a secret agenda, which they don't want anybody to know about. They want to take 50% of the land in the United States and put it into wilderness areas, another 25% in transitional areas. They want to get people out of their homes. They want to force them into sustainable developments where they can watch them and monitor them and report on them and know everything about them. They want to get them out of their cars and onto bicycles. There are people who have a different worldview, and the common denominator is they want to control you and future generations. Well, you go right ahead, Orlean.
Well, I agree with you, and fortunately I knew this agenda before we ever entered into this because of your wonderful radio programs and also Freedom 21 conferences I've attended, and Michael Shaw and his standing up for his property rights there in Santa Cruz. We'd had him come and speak for us as well as you. So I knew what we were up against when we started this organization. We call ourselves the Sonoma County Land Rights Coalition. And I was able to pass on to our members a little booklet that comes out from about Agenda 21. And I also gave that to the Board of Supervisors and also to the Planning Commission members, so they knew that we knew what was really behind this.
Well, why don't you explain to our listeners what Agenda 21 is, what this is really all about. What is Agenda 21? Why is it important? And how does what we do here, here in California, influence what is going on, in, say, in New York or, you know, over in Europe?
Well, Agenda 21 is another word for sustainable development, but it's what the United Nations uses. It was part of the Rio de Janeiro conference that was passed back in 1992, where 178 nations signed on to this and adopted Agenda 21. And it was a summit in Rio de Janeiro. President George W. Bush Sr., or George H. Bush Sr., was the person that signed on for the United States. Then it was supposed to go to our Senate. But fortunately, this nice Dr. Michael Kaufman was able to produce the document just before the Senate was going to ratify it, so they could see, just like you said, right there in this United Nations document, it said that 50% of, well, it was based on the Wildlands Project, which said 50% of our nation would be taken back to pre-Columbian times. So Michael Kaufman had told the Senate that that's what was going to be in this, and they wouldn't believe him, but when they actually saw it and saw those words, they refused to even bring it up for a vote. So we thought we were saved for a while, but President Clinton adopted it, ratified it by executive order. So essentially that's what is now running our nation, is Agenda 21 or sustainable development. And people, when they hear that term, they think, oh, that just means that we're preserving the world and its resources for the next generation. That's what they say. It's development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. But that's not really what it is at all. There's really no development, and there's not going to be hardly any resources if they're all shut down, and that's kind of what they're all about.
Well, the Agenda 21 is an agenda, a secret agenda for the 21st century. And because they may give it different names, but it's all basically the same thing. You can get it from the United Nations bookstore back in Washington, back in New York City. And they have this agenda for the entire world. And of course, they're using the threat to the environment to control the entire world. There is a master plan. It's called the Global Biodiversity Assessment, and we actually have that summarized in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. And how many of those did you buy? You got an awful lot of them.
I think I bought 20 from you at one time.
Right. And really, it has this, you can certainly get it and copy it if you'd like to. This is all right with us. But the whole idea is that there is a master plan. Certainly, the Global Biodiversity Assessment talks openly what they want to do. Dramatically reduce the world population, certainly get you out of your car, restrict the amount of water that you would use, restrict the amount of space that you would have to live in, change the agricultural programs that we have, do away with cattle grazing, do away with cattle, do away with most livestock. And you say, that's crazy talk. Well, it may be crazy talk to you and me, but not to these people like Al Gore and his ilk, who is perfectly all right for him to tap a 10,000-square-foot house, but he'd like to have you in maybe a 600-square-foot house so you're not using up his natural resources. So basically there is a master plan out there. Agenda 21 is the agenda of this plan for the 21st century. You can read about it, but how will it interfere with or influence how we live, Orlean?
Well, like you said, they now try to disguise the name because people are catching on to Agenda 21, even sustainable development. So now they call it comprehensive planning, smart growth, growth management. I was substitute teaching just last week in a science class, and there was a Time article for kids. It's a little, like, five-page little Time excerpt. They also have other ones for the elementary kids that are called Scholastic News. You can't believe every single issue of them are all about environmental issues, and they've truly taken over our public schools. But inside this one for the high school kids, it's Making the World a Greener Place. It says Bright Ideas for Earth Day, and of course they have a picture of the polar bears having to step on different ice particles because the ice glaciers are all melting, and the poor polar bears, it's not like the polar bears know how to swim. All of this is so fabricated. And the polar bears are really doing very well. I understand we have more than we've ever had, but they don't tell the kids that either. And of course there's an article about global warming and carbon pollution and all the terrible things that are happening to the earth. But inside the centerfold is Welcome to the City of the Future. And it shows it what the sustainable cities are going to be like. Earth-friendly homes, cars, and energy are changing the way we live. On the top of the roofs of the buildings is grass growing. They want us to go back to the old-fashioned homes that used to be in Europe where sod was growing on the roofs, because they say that energy-saving homes and buildings conserve water and energy. Grass and plant-covered rooftops absorb less heat and act as filters for rainwater harvesting. So all of the roofs of these buildings are covered with green grass. Of course, there's very few cars on the road because everything is very close and people just have to walk. They mention how the father will walk his little children to the daycare center and then goes on the speeding rail system to get himself to work. All of these sustainable cities will have a little short rail system. And, of course, there's the apartment buildings all have shops on the down floor, the bottom floor, and then people live up above, just like medieval Europe. And as you go and visit Europe, that's how most of it is. They want to get the farmers off their farms. They want to get people who live in rural areas out of their areas so they can all be put into these sustainable communities and stack them and pack them, as Michael Shaw says, because they will have greater control over all of us. They don't want us to have the freedom of using our cars and to be way out in the country living on our nice, happy farms anymore. They want us all in these sustainable cities. And I was in Texas visiting my son and his wife there and was told about one of those sustainable communities. So I went to visit it, took pictures of it. There they have, that's part of the plan, is to have people segregated so the elite have kind of their gated communities, and they are the ones that don't have to do the menial labor that the others have, and the others will be living in these sustainable communities where they can just walk to their work, don't have to use cars. I came back to Santa Rosa and found the same thing already built on Sebastopol Road. I didn't even know it was here. They're getting grants to build these cities, both for the people that are designing them as well as the builders. So it's happening probably in our major cities all over our nation. Were you aware of that, Dr. Stan?
Yes, they will basically have the stores on the first floor or the lower floor. That's where you will do your shopping, and then you'll work on the next floor up, office buildings, and then you'll live above that.
That's
so
right.
You're not going to even need your car. It's all about control.
It is.
And people don't understand, there really are people with a fascist mentality who will hide behind the agenda of, oh, we've got to preserve the environment, we're running out of, we're running out of water and oil and air and we're running out of natural resources. That's why we've got to cut back on the consumption of all of those things. And the global warming is going to destroy the world, and all the ice packs are going to, melt, and all the polar bears are going to drown because, there's no more ice packs for them to stand on, and it is all a lie.
It
doesn't matter whether it's true or not. If they can convince you it's true, that it is true. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Go ahead, Doreen.
The saddest thing is how they have total control of all of our public schools, and these poor little kids have no other opportunity to hear another viewpoint. Al Gore is coming into our elementary schools with his ridiculous movie about global warming. Do they get to hear any other viewpoint? No. And how the Scholastic News, this Time for Kids, have all been taken over. This picture also shows windmills in the background. That's how all of our energy is supposed to be produced now. And, of course, there's solar panels on top of the buildings. And they make all of this sound so wonderful because the kids don't know any other viewpoint. They'll be coming out of our high schools and colleges 100% environmentalists. And as Abraham Lincoln said, the philosophy of the classroom of one generation will become the philosophy of the government of the next. These kids will be elected our officials someday, and they're going to be totally indoctrinated to the green philosophy. And I see it happening more and more. It's just incredible because there's no other viewpoint allowed in our schools.
And I think one of the most amazing thing is they want to get us out of cars. They hate cars. No, that's cars for you and me, of course. That's not cars for themselves. Certainly it's all right if the elite have cars, but certainly not for us common folks. And, of course, as far as use of electricity, well, we're running out of electricity. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, electricity is so incredibly cheap to produce and to distribute. They've had to work very, very hard to carry out this scam. They had to convince everybody we had to deregulate electricity at lower costs, whereas all the time they were planning on raising costs. And then, of course, the shutting down the dams, which used to have hydroelectric power, but they're doing away with that as much as quickly as they can. They've effectively blocked nuclear power. It's all right for every other country to have nuclear power, but we can't have it here because, well, what about what happened at Chernobyl? And, of course, nobody ever tells the people the truth about Chernobyl. Nobody ever tells them the truth about what you do with depleted uranium. And the fact that in a country where we supposedly have freedom of the press, they're able to conceal the truth about the electricity scam is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. And one of the greatest scams of all time is we're running out of oil. Peak oil. Oh, my goodness, we're running out of oil. We're on the downhill side. Soon, of course, there's not going to be any oil there. We're just going to have to ration what's left. And it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough and convincingly enough, people will believe. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Orlean, you are a substitute teacher in the schools. What response do you get from the students when you try to tell them the truth?
Well, it's really difficult. It's like they look at you like, who are you? How did you ever come up with this idea? But once in a while, you find someone who believes you. I was talking about global warming because we were teaching about the planets, and I mentioned that right now, perhaps there is a little warming going on, but did you know there's also a warming going on Mars? And are there any people there or any cars there? All of the planets are having a warm period because we have lots of solar flares happening now, and it's cyclical.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Orlean, go right ahead with the story.
Well, we were teaching the kids about the lesson was on the sun, and there was a wonderful video about the sun, and then they were supposed to graph what they had learned on this graph, and it was amazing how it showed every 10 years there is a big rise in the solar flares that are coming from the sun, and amazingly there is a big fluctuation in the temperature of the earth that coincides. And I said, so you see, right now we are having one of those peaks of activity of the sun, and yes, we do have a warming that's going on our earth, but you know that Mars is also having a warming period, as are some of the other, all of the planets, because the sun affects all of them. And then I asked, are there any cars on Mars? No. So I said, do you think, and no people, of course, so I said, do you think it's really because of the activity of people on the Earth that we're having this higher temperature? And so the kids kind of shook their heads. And I said, how many of you have seen Al Gore's movie? And I think one person in the room had, and I said, now how does what you've just been taught now line up with his movie? And he said, his movie's really kind of silly, isn't it? And I said, yes. So, you know, once in a while you can get through to them and make them think on their own and use some critical thinking skills. I think I told you, it was probably about, 5 or 6 years ago when I was teaching in an elementary school. It was when the Kelo Treaty had just come forward, and they were trying to get the United States to sign on to it. And this would have done horrible things to our nation. We'd have to go back to 1990 emissions of our cars, but of course our population is much higher than that. And anyway, I happened to have in my purse a letter to the editor that I'd just written on this subject. And lo and behold, the assignment in this elementary classroom, it was fourth graders. Again, it was a Scholastic News article that they were to read and then answer questions about it. And the cover of the Scholastic News showed penguins standing on the ice this time, and the ice was melting around them. And the title of it was Homeless Penguins. And again, it mentioned how the ice is melting. Well, they keep using these fear tactics on the kids, and especially little tender-hearted kids who love animals. And so we read the article, and then we were supposed to answer questions at the end. And in the article, it did say that the Earth had warmed since 1940 by 1 degree. And yet it goes on talking about warming over and over again. And so I asked them, how many of you ever lived in the cold country? I think maybe one hand went up, and I said, if the temperature warms by 1 degree up where these little penguins are living, which is really cold, maybe it's minus 40 degrees, even colder than that, I said, is that going to melt anything? What does it take for ice to melt? It takes at least 32 degrees, and that's certainly not going to happen. So I said, something is not really quite true about this article. Then it also mentioned how the ice was going to melt and cause the continents to start to go under, because that'll cause the water level to raise. I said, how many of you, when you see
hold
a glass...
That, hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, go ahead. Orlean was just saying that she was talking to these students and pointing out, you know, if you are in the Antarctic and the temperatures are 40 degrees below zero and it goes up a degree, I mean, is anything going to melt? Of course not. I mean, you got to get around, 32 degrees above zero before you begin to get ice melting. So pick the story up there.
Okay, then I also tell them, when you put water into a glass and you add ice cubes to it, when the ice melts, does the water rise up and flow over? And they said, no. And I said, why is that? And one smart little boy said, because when water freezes, it expands, and when it melts, it contracts, but it essentially doesn't really change in the amount of space it takes up. I said, exactly. You get an A for the day. I said, that's what's happening. So when these icebergs melt, they're not going to cause the water levels of the ocean to rise. It's just a change in how they are. They contract and then they expand. And anyway, then I said, I just happened by coincidence to have a letter in my purse that I had written on this very subject. And it mentions, so I brought it out. I said, I'm going to read it to you, and I'll write a few things on the board that you might not understand. But my letter mentioned that 17,000 atmospheric scientists who were true scientists had all signed on to a statement that if there was any global warming, it was not due to man. It was because of natural consequences. And what just happens with the fluctuation of temperatures of the Earth. And I said, these are the scientists that we need to believe, because they truly have something to do with the weather and they know what's going on. And then I put words critical thinking on the board. And I said, when you see these words, what does that mean? And they really didn't know. And I said, well, critical thinking means you're supposed to see both sides to an issue so you can have a better idea how you're supposed to judge and decide what is true. I said, you've read the Scholastic News, and now you've heard what I've read to you. Well, there was a mother in the classroom and a student from Sonoma State University. and the mother said, I would like to thank Mrs. Curla for this wonderful presentation. And she said, you know, only in America would you have a classroom that has the freedom to have two different viewpoints in it. Well, I'm sorry to say that doesn't happen very often, even in America. But she said, from what you have heard now, how many of you agree with what you read in the Scholastic News, and how many agree with what you've heard Mrs. Curla say? Not a single hand went up for the Scholastic News, and all the hands went up for me. And then this student from Sonoma State started to ask me questions from, you know, all the green indoctrination he had received, and I was able to give him very logical answers, kind of made him think a little. Then they were to take this quiz at the end. It said, you know, which would you say is fact and which would you say is opinion in this article? The student said everything was opinion. So I was really happy. But, you know, that's one little classroom out of millions of classrooms.
And but if we can get people to hear the truth, which is why I do what I do and why you do what you do, an awful lot of people will recognize it. Let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Ottawa, Canada. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, good. She made some really interesting observations. That's the first that I had heard of the ice analogy. The ice cube analogy was really good, and I think that that's going to get around a lot. And I had a theory on why this is being done, and I wanted both you, Dr. Stan, and your guest to speculate a bit and see what you believe. I think this is a means of bankrupting the people, is by falsely raising the price of gas, which is the agenda, keeping it high. We're going to bankrupt the people, and it's a similar tactic as when they did the communist revolutions in China and Russia. They just seized everybody's property, and they seized everybody's assets and all of their wealth, and they were able to enslave them at that point because they had no empowering wealth of their own. And I wonder if something of that nature could be planned in the sense that they can bankrupt people. They can have will work for nothing.
I totally agree with you. I think the agenda is to wipe out the middle class of the United States, because it's the middle class that has always been a pain in the neck of the elitists. We're the ones that write letters, we write articles, we call our congresspeople, we call our state legislators, and we demand some accountability for what's going on. If they can make us so poverty-stricken, we have no time to do any of that. We're trying to eke out an existence. I truly believe you're onto that. That's very true.
And I would simply, Mike, do you know what Earth Day is? Do you know why we celebrate Earth Day? It's Lenin's birthday. Earth Day, of course, is the symbol of this whole environmental movement. Every communist knows that, but they don't want the rest of us to know that every year when we celebrate Earth Day, we're really celebrating Lenin, Vladimir Lenin, Butcher Lenin's birthday. Mm-hmm. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Mike's point is very well taken. He says that they, one of the reasons for what they're doing is they really want to bankrupt us. Yes, they want to get us out of our cars by raising the price of gasoline. They want us to cut back on using electricity by raising the price of electricity so that we will not have electric air conditioning. We will not have, you know, electric heat. We will not have refrigeration. We won't be able to afford these things. And then, of course, the next thing, why, we're going to have intermittent electricity as they do over in Iraq today or as they do in South Africa today. And they really had to work hard to take a very productive, efficient system and destroy it. And they did it, and we have a four tape set on the electricity crisis, a syllabus that goes with that. And the whole thing was to start out with the people and saying, look, you know, electricity's price has gone up. What we want to do is get competition back into the electricity market. So we're going to deregulate electricity, and then we can lower electricity. Now, who could be against lowering the price of electricity? Knowing full well what they were going to do was raise the price of electricity, but they told the people why they wouldn't go along with it. So
excellent
they had to
point,
lie.
Sir.
Go ahead,
excellent
Mike.
Point. Excellent point, sir. One last comment that I'd like to point out is that I believe that this energy crisis is being manufactured, but it's going part and parcel with also the looting of the stock market via the naked shorting issue. This is just a wholesale sort of stealing people's assets. And one final point is that they also repress the alternative energy cars. They won't allow you to get off the gas grid, and that's another means of getting at your money. People will lose their houses eventually. They'll lose everything. People need to drive. They're in these gigantic megalopolises, and they know that if they can keep you chained into that gasoline-burning car and triple the price of gas or you know, 10 times and make it 10 times as expensive, you're stuck with it. And eventually, I think you will lose everything. And that in conjunction with all of the other rip-offs that they're engineering with the stock market, etc. I think that this is the real plan is to make people poor.
All we need is one false flag operation, a feigned biological, chemical, or nuclear attack on America, certainly our troops overseas, and they can create a crisis in the stock market and really impoverish the American people. Well, Mike, did you have anything else you want to say before we let you go?
No, I'll leave it at that, and thanks for another excellent show.
Thanks for listening. I hope you're going to get everybody up there in Ottawa listening.
Thanks for your good comments and questions. Very good.
Thanks so much. Good night. God bless. All right, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Orlean Kula. And Orlean, before we go on, I'd like you to get out your website and, of course, your telephone number if you have one so people would know how to get in touch with your organization.
The Eagle Forum website is www.eagleforumofcalifornia.com, and then our Sonoma County Land Rights Coalition, it's just sonomacountylandrights.com. And we have a wonderful website there that you can read some amazing articles that we totally believe in. And then we also try to keep posted when our meetings are and when the next county planning commission meeting is, so people can go to that. They are about to present everything to the Board of Supervisors this summer, and we definitely want people to be there to speak out against that. So we're still keeping tabs on all of this and hoping to make a difference.
Well, I'm sure you are making a difference, and I think cumulatively all across America, at least some people are beginning to hear the truth and wake up. And as you pointed out so well, if the children can hear the truth, they can discern it. It is only when you've gone through, you know, all the way through grammar school and high school and college, you're indoctrinated to the point where you really believe all of these things, that's pretty hard to reach them. It takes a long time to reach a college graduate who has so much misinformation. I mean, he's been indoctrinated in lie after lie after lie after lie. Try to get him to give up his ideas. It's a lot more difficult than younger people or people without so much education. So, I mean, we're actually, I think we're making progress. But I think it's so important people understand the global warming scam. Certainly, Michael Shaw has some excellent information. But do you know the title of his new website? He's changed the name of his organization.
No, I don't. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to. Michael will be on with us on a regular basis. And anyway, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Where they get pictures of such forlorn-looking polar bears, I'll never know. But, I mean, they get these polar bears, and they're just on this little tiny ice floe, and you know that very soon that ice floe is going to melt. They're going to fall into the water and drown.
I know that you can do amazing things with computers now.
I know you can. Well, and then, of course, this whole global warming scam. And do anybody out there really know how much carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere? What part of the atmosphere is carbon dioxide today? Well, our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I mean, if you understand what the greenhouse effect is, and you understand, of course, that carbon monoxide is a minuscule part of the atmosphere, not a major part. There is no way in the world that the minimal amount of carbon dioxide, which incidentally is a very inefficient greenhouse gas, there is no way where that could possibly be causing an increase in global temperature. The temperature is going up, no question. In fact, it's gone up maybe a couple of degrees since the 1600s. And of course, that's why Greenland is called Greenland, because 1,000 years ago Greenland was green, and then we went to a cooling area, and of course time, and then about 1600 we started to warm again. We've been warming for the last 400 years, and most of the warming of the last century was before 1940, before there was so much CO2 being put out. And since that time it's been sort of sideways, up some years, down the next one, but there is increasing CO2. It's gone from 288 parts per million up to about 388 parts per million. It's increased 100 parts per million. 100 parts per million? That's not very much. Of course it's not. And there's no way this could be influencing, of course, the atmospheric conditions. And they know that. They figure that you're too dumb to know that. And nobody's ever going to tell you how much carbon dioxide there really is in the atmosphere. And, of course, the best thing you can have is more carbon dioxide, because it causes the trees to grow better, and the trees are growing better than they ever have. It causes the crops to grow better, and the crops are growing better. You know, in many parts of the country where we have the high levels of CO2. I want you to give up your home and your SUV and your income. But he's not going to do that himself. So you pick up the story there, Arlene.
Well, I think also what is so amazing about this is how you can now actually trade for carbon credits. So if you do happen to use up a lot of CO2, supposedly, if you own a factory or something, then you can, instead of having to pay a fine for what you're putting out into the atmosphere, you can just trade carbon credits, and that's supposedly what Al Gore is doing to make up for whatever extra energy he uses for his home. I heard one person say this is equivalent to what the Catholic Church was doing back in the Middle Ages, selling indulgences. How do you really deal with carbon credits? It's like, you know, dealing with some imaginary silly something, and yet it's on the stock market, and you can trade carbon credits. I think that's one of the silliest things I've ever heard of.
I think it is true, but it doesn't matter how silly or stupid something is. If you say it often enough and convincingly enough, people will believe that somehow by buying and selling carbon credits, you're going to lower the amount of carbon in the atmosphere. It's just incredible to believe that sort of thing, and yet they do believe it. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, I know in my community, they're putting in all sorts of bike trails. Why? Because they want to manipulate us into riding bicycles. This is what it's really all about. And then, of course, they do not want to widen the highway. Why? Because they want congestion. They want, of course, control through chaos and make it so difficult and so difficult to get around in a car that you'll be willing to get on a bicycle. But I notice that they want us on the bicycle. You don't see Al Gore riding his bicycle that much.
Not at all, and you don't see these interesting liberals giving up their SUVs either. they drive them, so they don't want anyone else to, and Al Gore flies around in his own private jet, I understand, and so many of these people, you can imagine how much gas that uses. And the other silly thing is how much corn they are now using to make ethanol gasoline and causing the cost of corn to skyrocket. For some people, that's always been their staple, and it's always been inexpensive for most of South America, Central America, and many, of course, now with all of the illegal immigration in our country. Corn has always been a huge staple for people, and now they can't afford it anymore. It's just amazing.
Well, of course, by raising the price of corn, then they can raise the price of cattle, the price of hogs, the price of chickens, the price of turkeys. And, of course, you know, because these are all grain-fed, and so this is having a real effect as far as the price of corn has almost doubled. But still, it would not be price, even with the doubling of the price of corn, it would not be, cost-effective to manufacture the ethanol if it were not for the fact that it's being subsidized by the government. And it actually takes more than a barrel of oil to actually create a barrel of ethanol. But don't let the facts get in the way. These people have an agenda, and they're pushing these alternative solutions. And one of the biggest problems, of course, is that ethanol is not good for your car, and you'll certainly have problems with your where your engine and the various parts of your engine running out much more readily because of the ethanol than it would with regular gasoline. So what we're doing is simply creating another problem, exactly as we did with the MTBE when the Senate and the House voted, well, we had to oxygenate the gasoline, so we'd add MTBE, so we would have a better oxygenation of the air. And what it did, it actually was toxic, and it actually, there was no evidence scientifically, it cut down on the contamination of the air, but it sure did a wonderful job of contaminating the water. And some of our communities totally lost their water supply. It can't be used for, you know, many, many years, and it cost hundreds of millions of dollars to make up for that mistake, because nobody in Congress ever bothered to find out what MTBE really did when you added it to gasoline on a large-scale basis. So, I mean, we have these turkeys back there in Washington, D.C., passing laws, and most of them have never even read the laws that they're voting on.
That's the truth. It's amazing. And also with our state legislators.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Our guest is Orlin Kula from the Eagle Forum here in California. Is Eagle Forum getting the information out on all the various aspects of sustainable development? Do the average person really understand they mean to dramatically reduce the population of the world?
Definitely. Phyllis Schlafly is very up on this, and there was an excellent article that came out in one of the, I think it was last fall, the Eagle Forum Education Reporter, written by Michael Chapman, about sustainable development in our public schools and how they are promoting it and pushing it. And It was a two-page article. It was just excellent. I think you can just go onto the eagleforum.org website and probably download that. It was Sustainable Development in the Classroom or something about that. But Phyllis Schlafly is very aware of this, as are most of the Eagle Farm leaders throughout the nation. But it is amazing what is being promoted in our public schools, and most parents aren't even aware of it. I was not aware of it till I found out my own 17-year-old son had been totally indoctrinated, and he still is. He's now a 29-year-old young man and still believes the indoctrination that he got, that the earth would be a better place if man were not on it, and totally believes in all of the green ideology. It's very sad. That's one of the reasons I woke up to this, when I realized that my own son had been so indoctrinated.
It's a terrible thing, but they target our youth, and they want them to believe that the earth is going to be destroyed. Unless, of course, we can dramatically decrease the number of people on earth. They have a population agenda, and of course there are many, many people who'd like to get the earth down to 1 billion, 500 million, 100 million. Even people like David Foreman, a few hundred thousand. There really are people who have a different worldview, and they've created such confusion. Actually, you go to Russia today, there are four more people going into caskets than there are going into cradles. 1.7 people go into a casket there in Russia today for every one new child born there. And you go into places like France and Italy and England, and their birth rate is far lower than the replacement level. In fact, it's really only in Africa and the Arab countries where, of course, populations are being replaced. But here in the United States, we have about 2.1 children per family, which is just about replacement level, a little less than that. But, of course, people do not understand that the rate, of population growth is actually decreased, is decreasing. And in Africa today, the AIDS epidemic is depopulating Africa, but you're not hearing that.
I was asked to teach this probably about a month ago in a science classroom, and the information that the kids were supposed to read and then write and answer the questions was so outdated and would have made them, in fact it said by the year 2030 there will be this a terrible crises on the earth with the population explosion. And I told them, I think I remember seeing this probably about 30 years ago. I want you to know this information is totally outdated. The countries now are decreasing in population like you can't believe. And I said, this information is very wrong. So I said, why don't you pass that on to your teacher? And I gave them some of the statistics that you have just said, that even big Catholic countries that used to always have large populations, like Italy, it's dying out. And even our own nation, we're barely able to cover it, probably because of all the illegals that we now have and their children. But what was so interesting in that classroom was, I think it was from the National Geographic, a big, huge chart on the wall that showed supposedly from satellite pictures of the entire earth with lights covering where the populations were. It was totally false. If you fly across the United States at nighttime and look down, there are so many areas that have no population. The Great Plains. I grew up in the state of Idaho. We had less than 1 million people in the entire state. Maybe there's more than 1 million now, but it's still not a huge populated area. And Wyoming, Montana, still hardly any populations. The Dakotas, and yet this map had lights everywhere and lights all over the entire world. And so the kids are being fed such lies and distorted truths, and they don't know anything different.
Well, let's go to Mike from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
Well, comment. I want to pick up on your thread about fuel and crude oil and energy.
And I want to talk, if I may, about the myth of peak oil. And this is a myth, as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of other people, though it's a small minority. It really began, I hear the music, it began back in the 50s with a guy named Hubbert, H-U-B-B-E-R-T. There's an article on his work with the Shell Oil Company on Wikipedia. If you type in Hubbert peak oil, you'll find his article. And this, the whole myth of peak oil really comes out of the Shell Oil Company and what it's been used for over the years for their profit, to keep us afraid of running out of oil. Other articles are all over the internet, really. Crude oil really is one of our greatest renewable natural resources. It's produced by the Earth's core, not by prehistoric biomass, as we've been told all our lives.
All right, fine. Now, hang on there. Go ahead. Of course, what you're referring to is the theory of the deep hot biosphere by the astrophysicist. I forgot what country he was from. Well, whose theory is that?
Hubbert, H-U-B-B-E-R-T.
No, that's not Hubbert's. Hubbert believes we're running out of oil.
Right.
A deep hot biosphere that believes that oil is a renewable resource.
Yeah, it's constantly being produced by the Earth's core. It's a derivative of methane, known as one of the building blocks of the universe. There's more of it than anything else. And it comes, it happens to come up through, amongst other places, through the, what you might call the ancient dinosaur or vegetation fields, you know, from how many thousands of years ago. But they have some reasons for thinking that, yes, it's produced by prehistoric biomass, but that's just not it at all. It's a completely renewable resource, and there's more of it being produced all the time. They don't even have to drill very deeply. In some cases, that's what they're looking at, drilling to extraordinary depths, but also the oil is coming up into the fields that were supposedly run dry decades ago. And like I was saying before, this all comes out of Shell Oil, and it's been perpetuated for the sake of keeping us afraid so they can charge whatever they want at the pump.
I think that's a great point. Thank you very much.
There's plenty of information on the internet. If anybody just types in peak oil, this really just has to get out, especially to the people in the environmental movement, because they've been scared the most into their activism.
Well, I suggest you type in Radio Liberty and Google, and then peak oil, and you'll get my two articles, which cover exactly what Mike is saying. Hey, thanks so much,
okay.
Mike. Okay. Quickly.
I'm glad he mentioned this, because I had always grown up thinking that everything was fossil fuels, and this was coming from the ancient dinosaurs that had been changed into oil.
It'd take an awful lot of dinosaurs.
It would, wouldn't
make
it?
A billion barrels of oil, I really think. But, you know, it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If you say it often enough, there are a lot of people who believe that oil comes from dinosaurs and from little fishies, and they just all fell into this a big brine down below, and they came out as oil. I mean, it really is so ridiculous, and I suggest people look into this idea of oil as a renewable resource and get my two articles that are up there on the internet on peak oil.
He also mentioned a really good point, is the fear tactics that they continually use, and that's how you get all the people to join on board, if they can be so afraid that if
hold,
we don't...
Hold that thought right there, please. And, of course, I guess this evening has been Orlean Cooler. Thank you so very much for being with us, Orlean. It's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. I so enjoy. I learn so much from being on your show as speaking on it. Thanks for all you are doing, Dr. Stan.
Good night. God bless. And, Jack, do you have a quick question before we let you go, because we're out of time?
Oh, sure, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to bring to your attention, if someone hasn't already, the fact that Clifford Carnicom, whom I think you interviewed in the past, I'm not sure, but I heard him interviewed on another program yesterday, astonishing the data that he's now compiled. And I guess his website is carnicom.com.
Okay, we're going to have to let you go. Thanks very much for bringing that out. And at this point, I'd like to Remind our listeners, we do have a couple of 4-tape sets on global warming. We have a syllabus on sustainable development. We have, of course, a 4-tape set on sustainable development, a video on sustainable development. We carry the book entitled The Unstoppable Global Warming, 2 4-tape sets on global warming. If you'd like to know more about what's really going on, give us a call, or pardon me, go to my website, look up the RadioLiberty.com books on these subjects, or give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. The book Unstoppable Global Warming is very good. It is an analysis of the global warming scam. The 2 4-tape sets on global warming are very well done. The syllabus on sustainable development, nothing quite like it. And I suggest people get that along with the video sustainable development, The Road to World Government. And then, of course, there is a 4-tape set that goes with that on sustainable development. Understand the agenda. You need to get our material on population control, the video population control, the 4-tape set on population control, and then, of course, my talk on planned population reduction. And they have killed hundreds of millions of people. They have killed hundreds of millions of people over the last 20 years. They know exactly what they're doing, and your name could be next. You or a loved one. Understand that we're dealing with people who have a different worldview because they worship a different God. You can certainly get the talk on planned population reduction or on population control. If you'd like more information, the telephone number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, which is what gives us the ability to do what we do 5 hours every day. We do hope that many of you will tell others about our program. Our website is RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And then to understand the spiritual force that's behind what's going on, my book or talk, Brotherhood of Darkness, more recent talk, Forbidden Secret, and then, of course, the analysis of the movement that's sweeping America, Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. This is called The Secret Behind the Secret. You better know what people are thinking and learning, because, of course, for the first time in 5,000 years, why the mysteries of the mystery religions are being laid out quite out in the open, which suggests that the time we are living in is very late. So the 4-tape set, The Secret Behind the Secret, that's been featured by Oprah Winfrey and Larry King and Jack Canfield and Jim Carrey, that's a 4-tape set. Best thing we have going right now. I hope to have a new DVD very, very soon. And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, we do hope that many of you out there will, of course, pray for America. You'll pray for revival. You'll pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you once again on this same station, this is Dr. Stan. Good night.
Your tune.